Okay, good morning, everybody.
So we talk a little about the Megillah. We call the Megillah Megillat Esther. You know, someone asked a question, why isn't it Megillah Mordechai? Because I think the idea behind Megillat Esther is the word Esther refers to hidden. And we see that whoever misses the Hashem's hand that touched the Purim story, they're really not looking. And if he claims that he heard the Megillah, he probably wasn't listening. He said, imagine a prime minister, he draws lots, and he decides to annihilate Kol B'nei Israel. He's going to annihilate all the Jewish people. Within 24 hours, he has the approval from the king of the not-so-free world, King Ahasuerus. Within days, the plot has failed, the prime minister is hanged, and his prime target is promoted to replace him. It's pretty political, pretty miraculous, and definitely divine. Yet Hashem's name is not mentioned at all in the Megillah. Of course, the Megillah is replete with allusions. We have, for example, a pasuk. It says, "Vayomer Hamelech." The king said, "Maharu et Haman, go and hurry up Haman, lasot et divad Esther, to do what Esther is asking." Vayavo Hamelech veHaman el Hamishter asher asta Esther. And the Haman and the should come to the party, which Esther commanded. And we have Hashem's name, the Yud the Hey and the Vav in the Hey, in those words. So he says that we also have it again. The Hamelech, it's interesting. We have it when Haman is just starting to get his honor, that Esther is inviting him, and then we have it at the very end. It says, "V'hamelech kam bechamato mimishte hayayin el ginat habitan," and the king, in his anger, got up from the wine party, and he goes out to the garden. "V'haman amad devakesh al nafsho." Haman steps up to beg for his life. "Me'ester amalka ki ra'a ki kalta elav hara'a." It says, "Ki kalta elav hara'a." If you look at the word there, the last letters of each of those four words is again the yud dehei, the vav and the hei. So we have Hashem is hidden in some ways. These passages, they're contrasting moments in the life of Haman. From his start, when he feels he's going into power, to his very end, and what we see in the both allusions to Hashem's name is that Hashem is running the show completely. Rabbeinu Eliezer Ashkenazi, he notes that Hashem's name is hidden in these two passages, and he brings what we just mentioned. Rav Abraham Ibn Ezra comments, it is the case that in the Megillah, there is no mention of Hashem's name. It is one of the books of the Tanakh. And he says, in my opinion, the proper explanation is that the Megillah was authored by Mordechai. This is the meaning that he sent the books out. All these books were copies of a single text. That is the Megillah. He says the Persians copied it and wrote it into their history of their kings. And they were idolaters. What would have happened had they put Hashem's name in the Megillah? They would have replaced Hashem's name with the name of their own idol. And therefore, he didn't want to allow this to happen. So he kept Hashem's name completely out of the Megillah. And we only have it in allusion. Mordechai and Esther addressed their dilemma by leaving out of the Megillah any of the names of Hashem. The overt religious neutrality of the text was not offensive to the Persians. It didn't conflict with their idolatrous beliefs, and therefore they sent it out. So we note that we have the acronyms of Hashem hidden. We refer every time it says Hamelech, we should think that it's referring to Hashem, what it's saying. But still the question is, why the last book that goes into the whole Tanakh when it's canonized, why the last book of his Megillat Esther and it doesn't have Hashem's name in it? He says, I think the answer lies in the fact that it's the last book and coincides with the end of the period of prophecy. For telling there's going to be a future now where heaven is going to be veiled, like we say Esther. She's showing what the future is going to be. You're not really going to see the hand of heaven outright. It's only going to be hidden. And we need to learn to read between the lines, which we have to do in Megillat Esther. Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky tells one of my favorite stories. He says that it was a sweltering August day when the Greenberg brothers entered the posh Dearborn, Michigan offices of the notoriously anti-Semitic car maker, Henry Ford. Says, Mr. Ford, announced Hyman Greenberg, the eldest of the three, we have a remarkable invention that will revolutionize the automobile industry. Ford looked skeptical, but their threats to offer it to a competitor piqued his interest. We want to demonstrate to you in person, they said. After a little cajoling, they brought Mr. Ford outside and asked him to go into a black Edsel that was parked in front of the building. Norman Greenberg, the middle brother, opened the door of the car. Please step inside, Mr. Ford. Mr. Ford shouts, what are you, crazy? It's 200 degrees in that car. And the youngest brother, Max, says, it is, but sit down, Mr. Ford, and push that white button. Intrigued, Ford pushed the button. All of a sudden, a whoosh of fresh, freezing air started blowing from the vents in the car. And within seconds, the car started to cool down. And within a minute, the car was actually cool. He says, this is amazing. How much do you want for the patent? Norman spoke up. The price is $1 million. Think of when this is. He says, then he paused and he says, there's something else. We want the name Greenberg Brothers Air Conditioning to be on the console of every single Ford car next to the Ford logo. So Ford tells them back, money's no problem. But there's no way I'm having a Jew name next to my logo in my car. They haggled back and forth for a while, and finally they settled. $1.5 million he paid them for the patent. However, the first name of the Greenberg brothers would forever be emblazoned upon the console of every Ford air conditioning system. And that's why today, whenever you go into a Ford, I never knew I had, my first car was a Mark Lincoln Mark 5, whatever. And the air conditioning has High, Norm, and Max. The Hyman, Norman, and Max, the three brothers. Wow. Mordechai and Esther, the writers of the Megillah, left us a message that would accompany us throughout the long exile. Rabbi Kamenetsky explains, you're not always going to see God's signature openly emblazoned upon every circumstance. However, throughout persecution and deliverance, he's always there. And just like on Purim, his obvious interference is undocumented, but we know and we feel it, and if we search for it, we find it. So too, in every instance, we have to seek his name, find it, and recognize it. It might not be on the bumper. It might be hidden on the console in the names of the guys who made the air conditioner. But it's there. For Hashem is always speaking to us, and all we have to do is tune in. Baruch Adonai Olam, amen v'amen.